Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for us this evening comes from first the letter of Paul to the Corinthians, his first letter in the 11th chapter, when he writes, "As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself." And from the Gospel according to John in the 13th chapter, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Friends in Christ, let's begin with the end in mind. The Lord's Supper is nothing less than being touched by God himself. Here, in this church, Jesus serves us with his body and blood. We come here to be forgiven in a way that involves all of our senses. In Holy Communion, we come into contact with Christ and we are changed. We can never be the same again. At least that's what the Lord's Supper is supposed to be like. How often is it that way for you, though? Have you ever come to the Lord's table with very little thanks in your heart? How often have you sung those great songs of preparation with not much real lifting up of your heart at all, with little joy of sins forgiven? Do you sense a closeness with Jesus as you commune? Do you open yourself up to him here? One of the saddest views of the Lord's Supper is from the person who says, "I don't go to communion unless I've really been improving in my spiritual life, unless I've really cleaned up the things I've done wrong and have become worthy of going." Now, it's true. St. Paul urges us to examine ourselves that we might receive the Lord's Supper in a worthy manner. But that worthiness has nothing to do with what we bring to the table. The worthy manner of Paul is a simple trust that Jesus is hidden in bread and wine and that he comes to his table to forgive sins. The worthy manner of Paul, in other words, is an admission of our unworthiness and the belief that Jesus comes to feed unworthy sinners, to pass along the forgiveness that he purchased on the cross. As the hymn writer Augustus Toplady once wrote, "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. I bring nothing to the table, yet Jesus still meets me there to give me what I need most. In a blessing that only faith can comprehend, you participate in the body and blood of your Lord Jesus." An idea so important that Paul says it twice in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And for that reason, the Lord's Supper is intensely personal. At the same time, we need to grasp the powerful community experience that's happening here too. Again, as Paul writes, "Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one loaf." Maundy Thursday, the Thursday when Jesus gave the mandate "Do this in remembrance of me" is a time for the renewal of Christian unity. It's a time for renewal in the mission that we share of communicating Christ to our community and through it to the world. It's a time for us to share our joys and sorrows. It's a time for us to take a stand together against Satan. We will not be such easy prey for our enemy when we stay in fellowship with one another, and our fellowship is created and strengthened every time we come to the Lord's table together. There really is no such thing as a solo Christian. We need each other. Alone, we stumble and all kinds of strange thoughts enter our minds, but united in Christ, we move ahead together, doing far more than we ever could have accomplished by ourselves. A little girl once got lost in a very large cornfield, and it was winter. The temperature was far below zero, and rescuers searched for her for hours, and they found nothing. Finally, one person in the group suggested that they all start at one end of the field and, holding hands, survey the field in a systematic way. And finally, doing it that way, they found the child alive but in very serious condition, and the father cried out to God, "Dear Lord, why didn't we join hands before?" Why didn't we join hands before? Isn't it time to do that? Isn't it time for renewal of our Christian unity? When we join hands, we do a much better job of finding the lost. Jesus has promised to renew us in that unity. At his table, he will come and fill us with his gifts. He will come and make us a body of Christians who will take him out into the world. Our participation in the body and blood of Jesus always will lead us to action, because that's just how Jesus is. There's one more thing that I feel I must say tonight about the community experience of our Lord's Supper. Not only do we share in the joy of our Lord's presence as we commune with our Christian family, but we also stand in mystical fellowship with all who have died in the Lord, a fellowship that is heightened at the very moment you commune. Do you know the meaning of a semicircular communion rail, much like the one we have? Its design is meant to illustrate that the circle is completed as it goes around the altar and then up and around the throne of God, as angels and archangels and all the company of heaven join in song, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." All the company of heaven sings with us. The great saints of ages past, the great saints who have been a part of your life, your grandparents, your parents, your spouse, your brother or sister, your child, all your loved ones who have fallen asleep in Christ. At the moment you commune, you come as close as you'll ever come in this life to doing what they're doing right now, which is enjoying the presence of their Savior Jesus Christ, unbroken, praising him with heart and mind and soul, aware of that circle that extends into heaven. We have inexpressible joy and deep-seated peace. It's an intensely personal experience for obvious reasons. And it's an intensely personal experience for when you eat and drink at the Lord's table, He enters you and changes you with His forgiving love. It's also a community experience. For here at His table, we are bound together with others in time and there in eternity with our living Savior, Jesus. So come with all your sin, your burdens, your weakness, your worries. Come with all your happiness, your thankfulness, the joys that God has permitted you to experience. Come hungry for the forgiveness of sins and the renewal of this family of faith. Come trusting your Lord's promise that His body and blood are given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Come to the table. Come and feast. The heavenly banquet is ready. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, as you have promised, meet us here at your table. Underneath bread and wine, feed us with your own body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins, for the strengthening and encouraging of our faith. Help us to realize that as members of your body, we matter to one another, we need each other. You are putting us together to do great things in your name. Help us to truly learn what it means to rely and trust in each other, to love one another as you have loved us. In your name we pray it. Amen.